It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Microsoft puts out an earnings report today. Company leaders are probably already missing last week. That's because last week the conversation was all about Windows 10 and interesting new hardware from the company. This week, expectations for Microsoft's earnings are not very high. Forrester tech analyst James McQuivey says it's a strategic move.
It's not a surprise that Microsoft chose to make the week before its earnings announcement the time where they debut all of these wild and crazy things they've been cooking up, because they knew that going into 2015, many people had been counting them out. I think that was 100% the strategy. Microsoft said, here is the future as we see it, and don't bother so much with the numbers because we think we're going to change those numbers rather quickly.
James McQuivey at Forrester. An evolving challenge for an established media company is finding new audiences. An evolving challenge for an established social media company, making money. Add these two motivations together and you get the recent announcement that news organizations are partnering with Snapchat, which lets people send messages that disappear as soon as they're viewed. Our friend at Slate, Will Oremus, has been looking at this. Will, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Ben.
You've dabbled in the Snapchat. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we can say it. We can say that I feel really old. And so to try to make myself feel a little less old, I will send a snap now and then.
Now pretend that it's your job as a journalist to Snapchat.
Does that mean the teens will read me?
That's what we care about, right?
I think that is what we care about, at least when we're talking about Snapchat's new effort to build in a Discover tab where it will partner with media companies, reportedly like CNN and Vice, to deliver journalistic content via Snap to its 100 million plus active users.
What do you think about this? A disappearing messaging service engaging with journalists in order to produce journalism.
You know, it's funny. It gives us an excuse to bring up one of the worst buzzwords of the past few years, and that covers a lot of ground, which is the word platisher.
What is that?
It's something that is a cross between a platform and a publisher.
And Facebook and some older platforms are thinking about this too, right?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, you know, maybe in the old days, if somebody started a printing press and then it became a huge printing press, and at some point you start to think, what if I stopped just printing other people's stuff and, you know, found some good stuff to print of my own? Maybe I could sell some ads. Maybe I have some stuff to tell the world. And so I think, you know, that's what we're seeing a lot of these companies do. You have to see it as an experiment. It's an interesting experiment. It's one that makes a lot of sense for Snapchat to try. Could be huge. It could be, we could hear a year from now that it's over.
Our friend and Slate senior tech writer, Will Oremus. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you.
As our machines get better and better at learning how to do stuff, taking in information and making their own decisions about what to do, some really smart people are getting scared that artificial intelligence could one day threaten humanity. Remember those three rules for robots thought up by Isaac Asimov?
The first law, a robot may not harm a human being. Number two, a robot must obey orders given it by qualified personnel. Rule number three, a robot must protect its own existence unless that violates rules one or two.
Well, this month, the organization called the Future of Life Institute put out an open letter pushing for socially responsible artificial intelligence research around the world. It's been signed by everybody from Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk to assistant law professor at University of Washington, Ryan Kalo. Mr. Kalo, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I'm well. Let's define socially responsible artificial intelligence. What is that in your mind?
One way to think about social responsibility in the context of artificial intelligence is that it doesn't reproduce outcomes that challenge or disrupt our values. So for instance, an algorithm that ends up discriminating against people who are disadvantaged, people of color.
Essentially, a lot of what we're talking about here is making sure that artificial intelligence never does harm to humans.
At one level, yes. I mean, we are turning over tasks usually done by people to machines, and it's conceivable that they'll act in ways that are harmful. I think that is the much more plausible scenario than the, you know, robot twisting its mustache trying to plan to kill humanity.
I like the idea of a robot mustache, though.
So do I, very much.
Let me ask you this. Some of that artificial intelligence and how we leverage it actually really depends on us, right?
It does to a degree. But remember that as artificial intelligence evolves, it's going to have greater and greater agency. And I don't mean that in the free will sense. I just mean that it's going to have abilities that are ever more emergent, and often in a useful way. You know, you might develop an artificial intelligence and it's meant to maximize some particular outcome, and that's how it was designed. And suddenly it begins to experiment and it begins to break out of the confined area that it's been initially done. So trace it back to people and engineers. The issue is that what's exciting about artificial intelligence is precisely what's dangerous about it, which is that artificial intelligence solves all kinds of problems in ways that humans wouldn't. In fact, it really wouldn't be quite as useful if it solved the problems the way that we would, because we would just solve the problems.
Ryan Kahlo is an assistant law professor at the University of Washington and an affiliate scholar at the Stanford Center for Internet and Society. Ryan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, I put up some of my ideas for artificial intelligence rules and guidelines on Facebook. Give me yours at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.